Hey, I'm Brody Brazil, and welcome to Teal Town After Dark.
Thanks, Brody. Good evening, everyone. It is Thursday night, May 2nd, 2019, game four in the books. And once again, we have a best of three series. The Sharks and Avalanche are tied at two after four games. And this game, this series will require six games. And with that, welcome to Teal Town After Dark, your live and interactive Sharks post-game show. Good evening, everyone. You got the Erics in the house. I am Eric Kura. You can always follow me at PuckGuy14. Joining me, Mr. Eric Landy.
PuckGuy, not a great look for the Sharkies tonight, but if you want to be a part of the show, there are multiple ways to interact with us, chat with us in the YouTube chat. You can also use the Twitter machine using the hashtag TealTownUSA. Follow us at TealTownUSA. Of course, we're always available on the Facebook, on the Twitter, on the Instagram, SoundCloud, and of course in the YouTube chat, which we try to monitor. PuckGuy, not a great look for the Sharkies tonight.
Not quite. Not the best looking part. They did look a little more gassed than I thought they did in game three. Not exactly the best way to go. In the third period, you could tell that they were being lackadaisical because one, two, three, four penalties on the Sharks in the third period when they're trying to get back into the game. But nonetheless, it is what it is, and we just have to get back into it now. So let's talk about this game. As the Sharks were trying to go for a 3-1 series lead on the Avalanche, hoping to put a stranglehold on them for Saturday night, but it doesn't work out that way. But early on in the first period, Grubauer and Jones, and especially the one I noted on here at 16:30, Jones with a huge save on Kerfoot. And Landy, I'll say this, as much crap as Jones took last night or in the last round, especially early on, I gotta say, he played a phenomenal game, and rather than the team in front of him bailing out his mistakes, it was more Jones bailing out his team on the mistakes tonight.
Yeah. Hey, Eric, can you lower down those Twitter notifications, por favor? Jones was definitely the best player on the ice tonight for the Sharks. Grubauer was really decent as well. I mean, really fronting the puck, just not giving up on pucks. And it was kind of a goaltending duel to begin with, and credit Jones, he kept the Sharks in all night tonight. They didn't deserve that 3-0, that 3-0 loss definitely was a flattering scoreboard, because it could have been worse.
Yeah, it could have been worse, although I thought the Sharks had some chances in here, and especially since the shots after one period were 12-10. But I mean, they had some chances, but were they high quality though?
Not really. I mean, to me, in that first period, it was a team that was really facing, I don't know if they were facing the effects from the altitude, or they're just starting to run out of gas without Pavelski. Not exactly sure, but in that first period, definitely looked sluggish, definitely getting their passes intercepted through the neutral zone tonight. The passing was not great all night. They just did not look focused. And they didn't put forth a good effort. And the fact that the Avalanche also were committed to the body early. That was the thing. The Avalanche had a very strong forecheck, felt like they were really throwing their body around. The Sharks did not come out with the same intensity that they came out with in game three. Looked flat. I mean, it really took until the third period for them to really kind of mount, any kind of physical attack. And just overall kind of disappointed with the effort tonight.
Yeah. Rob Ivan saying altitude got to the Sharks tonight. CD Dangle Grube had all the space and vision on all the shots. Not a lot of screens and net front irritations. That's true too. You know, it's frustrating to see. Rob, you know, I'm sorry I was a little off there early, but trying to get it back. Rhino McLaughlin, it could have been 8-0.
Yeah. Yeah. And yes, I do have the man bun going. See, there we go. It's there. Yeah. Yeah. It just did not click tonight. And you know what? I think it's definitely, they just look gassed. They really did. And I think that, you know, another good thing that Jerry was pointing out was the time on ice distribution tonight. Burns did not have a great game. I mean, he was, you know, front and center on that first goal. You know, as turning it over, he had a chance to clear the zone. He couldn't. Not a great play. In that second goal, the power play from the Avalanche, Burns was not defending well. They had an opportunity again to clear the puck, but they didn't. Then it comes down and kind of everybody is going berserk in front of the goal, and it kind of just trickles over and, you know, they score. So it triggers over to an Avalanche player and then they shoot it in, of course. But yeah, tonight, not great picking up McKinnon. That was a guy, McKinnon and Rantanen just seemed to be running rough shot. Not great.
Yeah, not the greatest. And a lot of people were saying Burns was fatigued. Burns was gassed. Burns was very slow moving the puck, and turnover did it around one as well. I thought more so that Colorado has contained them a little bit more. You know, it's one of those things that they target on, and that's where the next man up comes into play for sure. So 12-10 the shots, as I mentioned, through the first period. Faceoffs 53-47 in favor of San Jose after 20 minutes. The second period didn't start off too great. A lot of hooking calls, a lot of lazy plays there. That's something that you want to try to avoid, you know, when you are tired. And unfortunately, you know, it doesn't start off as a parade to the penalty box for the Sharks tonight. Timo Meier goes off for hooking at 23 seconds. Thankfully, Colorado's power play, you know, didn't do anything. And since Zach is in here right now, like he always says in his videos, stay out of the penalty box. I mean,
I believe that's damn penalty box.
Oh, it's a damn? Oh, well. Well, yeah. I mean, but that's one of the key figures here in this one. 6:15, Kerfoot goes off for hooking himself. Sharks get a brief power play until EK65 gets tripped up.
Oh my God.
It was probably the most blatant trips I've seen. And it was one of those ones where it's like, oh my gosh, how do you miss that? The Sharks turn it over. There's a breakaway. LeBanc takes probably a good call on it for getting a hooking call. So naturally, LeBanc in the box. What else is new? You know, and it's
it was ridiculous, but no, it was ridiculous though. I mean, the you could clearly see the stick hitting the skate. It wasn't like it was, you know, one of those incidental contacts, or, you know, it was blatant. You know, Erik Karlsson's going through the neutral zone. He's building up speed and then he's taken out.
Yeah.
And I don't know if that's because they're afraid of calling, you know, a 5-on-3, but they certainly didn't have a problem later on in the third period doing that. But, you know, it's always something, you know, it's always something. And I think that this officiating crew will want to take a look at that one again, because they missed it, and they missed it pretty bad.
Yeah. Marty T in the chat. Well, what do we want? The refs to put away their whistles, or put their whistles away, and can we watch the headshots? Yeah, there were soft ones, but we had a lot of stick work last game that went uncalled. Yes, there was a lot of stick work that went uncalled. I think more than anything, consistency. I think consistency is what I think every hockey fan would want. That way, you know, if a trip's a trip, then okay, then you know that's what we need to do here. So LeBanc goes in at 6:48 for hooking. Nothing transpires out of that. However, at 10:34, the opening goal of the game, and apparently, a guy that NBC really doesn't get a chance to talk about, because heaven forbid they actually cover a regular season game that's west of Chicago and doesn't involve Vegas or San Jose, Nathan MacKinnon. And, you know, as much as the announcers were just going crazy over him tonight, he's that damn good. And he gets his sixth of the playoffs from Rantanen and Makar, who is a great rookie defenseman. He's going to be a beast for the Avalanche. They get on the board 1-0. What did you take from that? Because I didn't think that was Jones's fault.
Oh, no. I mean, the initial save alone was really great, and it was just garbage in front of the net. What do you want from Jones at this point? I mean, he's basically held them through half of the game. You know, it's 0-0, haven't been able to capitalize on any of their chances. So, you know, in my opinion, you know, he's kept them in. At this point, he's kept them in, and the Sharks just need to do a better job of clearing the zone.
Yeah, absolutely. The clearing of the zone, and of course, Burns, is in both of those plays where they couldn't clear the zone. And that's the thing. Giovanni Segardia, MacKinnon is seriously underrated. It's about time he's getting recognized. And I completely agree on that one. MacKinnon has been really, really good.
I you know, next to McDavid, probably the next fastest skater.
Oh, absolutely.
And I dare say has a little bit better of a shot than Connor. I think Connor can pass the puck a little bit better, but I love MacKinnon's game. I've loved him since he was a Moosehead, and just really, really awesome player. You know, he started off, it was interesting, he started off his career in Colorado. It was kind of like that third line center because they had Ryan O'Reilly, of course, and they had Matt Duchene. And, you know, he kind of got lost in the shuffle there. You know, when they were kind of in that weird transitioning period with Patrick Waugh, but you know, he's really grown. He's kind of grown into that superstar talent that, you know, we thought he was going to be when he was selected number one overall, because before there was Connor McDavid, there was Nathan MacKinnon.
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of people talking about that, even AJ's talking about this. In four games, Jones hasn't let in a soft one yet. Can't blame Jones when the Sharks post a donut on the board. And that's bang on, AJ. I mean, he hasn't let in a weak goal, which is great. He's looked very solid. Even tonight, I thought he had some unreal saves as well.
There was a carom off the board, and then he had to kind of sprawl out in the butterfly to keep MacKinnon from scoring again. And you know what? I mean, just awesome game. He really battled to stay on the pucks, and even the on the goals they scored. I mean, he was battling all the way. So to me, this is not on Jones. Anybody saying that he's got to have any of those that he let in, you know, it just doesn't look. You know, they're just not the team in front of him just was not playing well tonight.
Yeah. And looking at the recap on NBC Sports California, he allows two goals, saves 25, 926 save percentage, the same goals against and saves as game three. So he's doing his job. So you can give it up for him on that one. To finish off the summary of the second period, Tyson Barrie takes a hooking call on Timo Meier as Nyquist goes in and gets stoned by Grubauer late in the period. Sharks will end up having a power play that goes in the third. And let's be honest, if you can hear really faintly, you can hear AJ's power play drum from the distance, because my God, It was bad tonight.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, there were Kevin LeBanc kind of just drove me a little crazy tonight because he was taking an extra, you know, an extra second to shoot the puck. He wasn't shooting it on a wrist, or he wanted to slap it, or he wanted to make a couple of dekes and change the angle. Look, tonight the Avalanche played a hell of a defensive game. And I think that's something that we should also bring up, because they clogged the neutral zone just the way that the Sharks did in game three. Really, I mean, their defensive zone collapse was really good, limiting to the Sharks to periphery shots. But LeBanc had a few different looks on net, and he wanted to really just, you know, hold the puck for an extra second and try and get a shooter shot. Look, the Sharks should have realized tonight that Grubauer was giving up some juicy rebounds. They needed to drive harder to the net, and that's a missed opportunity in my mind.
Yeah, and the only two opportunities on the power play tonight, and AJ saying he broke his power play drum after EK65 got tripped in open ice.
Yeah, and, exactly.
Let's... I know Brody's on a break right now, so let's welcome those of you who have been watching them to Teal Town After Dark. We do this after every single game, so do us a favor. Join the conversation. There are multiple ways to interact with us. Join us in the YouTube chat, whether you're watching us on the YouTube page or the app, and add us at Teal Town USA if you got anything there for it. So.
Yeah, I'm, you know, and something else that's kind of being pointed out that I thought was a really good kind of an indicator of the way tonight was going. Just look at the ice time distributions again. You know, Burns not playing well, and he's got 28 minutes. You know, they should have simplified the game. But having said all of that, they got home ice back. Right. You know, they get the split in Colorado. They got split at home. You know, they're going to get a little bit of an extra wind going back home because, you know, they're going to be able to breathe. And who knows, maybe there's some reinforcements waiting in the wings. We've got, you know, a Joe Pavelski sighting. What was that? I guess it was yesterday. He took to the ice. They're going to continue to monitor him. And, you know, somebody posted the concussion protocols, kind of interesting, or CTE protocol somewhere on Twitter. I was reading the other day, and it's like, you know, skate, then watch for a day, then skate, then ramp up the intensity. So to me, I always kind of figured it was going to be in that game 5-6-ish range. If we do see Pavelski this series, you know, a guy to me that we're really, really missing though is Jonas Donskoy.
Yeah.
Because without Jonas Donskoy, you're basically forced to play both Haley and Radil. And let's talk about a guy who's just trying so hard out there, but he's so snake bit. Radil, that guy, he's just a puck hound, and you know what, you can't fault the effort, but man, that 2-on-1 with Kane, and he's there and he whiffs it. It's just like the microcosm of the game.
Yeah, and that one that could have quickly changed momentum if he bangs that one in, and just a fan on that. I almost put a picture together of a fan with a number 52 on it, because I was just like, oh man, you had it right there, and it just couldn't bang it home. That would have been a huge one for the Sharks to get back into this game. Unfortunately, it does not happen there. In the chat, you know,
somebody saying in the chat, like, why are we, you know, they say we need to chill on the Burns narrative. Look, -2 tonight. He's got a penalty, a really bad penalty. He's got 28 minutes on. Look, I'm not saying that it was a case of him wanting to do bad, but you know, the guy is being overplayed. I mean, 28 minutes a night, and that's 28 minutes mile high. That's like 35 minutes in, you know, at San Jose, which is at sea level. I mean, really, guys, it does make a difference. So,
Here's the other thing is that, if you, and I think NHL Trump says it, totally agree, Anthony. If Heed play Heed, if you don't trust Ryan, and that's the problem here, I think. Like, are you waiting for maybe Shimmick to make a miraculous comeback? That's not going to happen. And if it does, it's probably not going to make it until they get to the cup final. So you can get over that. I just don't know how you can win with five defensemen. It just makes me concerned. And Rob Iman asking factor fiction, the Sharks dress seven D men in game five. You know, it's like,
I mean, basically though, you're going to ask Peter DeBoer to take out Michael Haley. I mean, really, you know, I say that tongue in cheek, but I don't think we'll see any kind of adjustments. Maybe we'll see an adjustment like a Gambrell draw in, because look, honestly, guys, I guess Haley had a good first game. The first game in the series, he was good. Second game, he was okay. Third game started to really kind of become invisible. And a guy that's supposed to inject some physicality into the game, boy, Colorado sure played a hell of a more physical game than we did. I mean, if the guy is brought in to be that, you know, force to really kind of change the momentum, I didn't see any of that tonight. You know, the guy that was really doing it, or the two guys that were really doing it, were Dylan and Timo. And mm-hmm. And here's the thing. This team plays on its toes when it dictates the play. The Sharks are bigger than the Avs, you know, pound for pound. It's time that they start using their bodies again like they did in game three. You know, they just need to slow down through the neutral zone, which they've done. And they need to, you know, re-enter the zone kind of a little bit more slowly. And if they're, you know, if they're kind of like not off, or if they're off on the passing tonight and really kind of not all there, then chip and chase, go to something, you know, a little bit more simple. Don't make the east-west passes, you know, keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah. Don't make those long passes. I think those were getting broken up by the Avalanche as well tonight. And, you know, that led to a McKinnon goal in game three that started their comeback in that one. So continuing on with their third period, Braun takes a tripping call that makes everybody that roots for Teal go, so that's tripping? At 2:32, and unfortunately, of course, that leads to a goal. Colin Wilson, his fourth on the power play, from Rantanen and Landeskog to make it 2-0, and it was 2-0, but it's like, oh, that's a backbreaker in this game tonight.
Yeah, I mean, the way that Grubauer was playing, the Sharks looked visibly gassed, and then in that third period, they were frustrated. They were frustrated about the calls. I'm just reviewing the play right now. Burns has that puck in his feet. He can't come up with it. He's trying to make he's trying to get the puck to his stick to kind of exit. But in that moment, he's got to realize the best thing is just eat it. You know, if he's got to lay down and do the starfish maneuver and cover the puck that way, or if he tries to just bank it in to Jones and let Jones cover it up, guys, that, you know, that just, they couldn't, you know, they couldn't get out of their own way. And so to speak,
yeah,
the guys couldn't get out of their own way.
And that's going to bite you in the butt anytime. That pretty much did it for the scoring. But while the Sharks were attempting to come back, they started to parade to the penalty box, unfortunately. Although the first one at 5:29, Meyer would take Landeskog to the penalty box for slashing. Nothing would come up of that one. Braun would take another high sticking call at 11:55. And Burns he was trying to do a stick lift, but unfortunately got the hands, and that's what they're looking for. They got them on hooking calls. So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 hooking calls in the game tonight. 3 on San Jose, 1 on Colorado. So I guess now it's The hooking and holding are getting called, the high sticking as well, throughout the night. But that's a recipe for disaster, Lindy. You again, not to steal Zach's line from his pregame prep videos, but you got to stay out of the penalty box, and especially in a third period when you're trying to make a comeback there.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree. I think it was Drew Romenda would always say that the stick infractions are the sign of a mentally tired team. You know, he would always preach that, and that's what it was tonight. You know, they were not moving their skates, and, you know, they were just not able to muster any kind of, you know, sustained effort. So, you know, again, you're going to have a lot of those kind of issues. I take issue with that second power play that or the power play in which Colorado scored their second goal. Justin Braun is called for tripping. If we go back and we take a look at that, Justin Braun doesn't make any contact. And the Colorado player, I believe it was Kerfoot, flops. It was a blatant flop. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't even dressed up. It wasn't even close. And so, you know, I definitely understand where Braun is being, you know, Braun is visibly upset at that call. So, you know, that one to me, with along with the Erik Karlsson missed trip and the Phantom trip, it's not great. But everybody who's watching, we really appreciate it.
Yep.
We do this show, you know, for the fans, by fans. So if you haven't already subscribed, please go ahead and hit the little red button and then put the little notification bell on. All of you long timers know that we go after every single game, rain or shine, day or night. So, but if you're new, you get the little notification bell and it will tell you when we go live. Also, if you have not checked it out yet, we have some pretty cool t-shirts. It's the Win It for Jumbo special edition, limited edition Teal Town USA shirt. And boy, howdy, does that skunk strip look nice.
Got some nice salad there, bud. Yeah, bud. Yeah, bud. Yeah, I can't wait for these to arrive, and then we'll get these shipped out. It's going to be looking good. Possibly we might be able to sell some somewhere in San Jose tomorrow, or not tomorrow, Saturday, prior to Game 5. So be on the lookout. We'll be in the area. Myself and AJ will be down there trying to sell off that, but limited quantities available. So get on it, folks. You know, make sure you want to win it for Jumbo. And more information available at tealtownusa.com on that one. To finish, go ahead.
So just quickly, somebody was asking, I'd love to have one without the Teal Town logo. That actually was made by yours truly, Mr. Puck Guy. So yeah, it's kind of our little watermark on there. Puck Guy, great with the graphics, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so away we go to the Sharks kind of having that last push in the last, 4 minutes of the game. Well, actually, it's more like 3.5 minutes after all the penalties expired. And go empty net, put on some great pressure. I mean, Grubauer just stood on his head. But again, where's the net front presence? There were rebounds galore. Mm-hmm. Rebounds galore tonight. And again, when this team is not mentally engaged, they don't do the little things like crash hard onto the net. You know?
Yeah, and that's the catch is, where was that? Well, they were crashing in front of the net. They were facing it, so, you know, it totally makes sense to go to the front of the net. And unfortunately, you know, Colorado, kudos to them, especially on that second power play for San Jose, not even giving them a chance to even set up. That's the tough part.
So. Yeah, I agree. And so now you kind of look at, well, actually, before we do that, Eric Johnson would score in the empty net. Yep. And just a great 200-foot lob shot and it was pretty much dead accurate. So, you know, the Sharks unfortunately fall 3-0, and the series is tied 2-2. So we're seeing a little bit of, you know, we're getting some questions on what kinds of adjustments the Sharks could do, what kind of personnel changes. Eric, I mean, what do you think the team needs?
I think it needs to show, you know, that they need to make some adjustments. I don't think you need to put them in the blind blender. I get why they did that tonight, just to see if they could get anything going. But I think the time is nigh for them to show up. I mean, I think they fell flat foot in the last five periods in Colorado. Yes, you know, Logan gets the game winner. He gets a hat trick in there. But outside of those two goals, what else did the Sharks do? They had a lot of posts. They kind of fell flat foot in Colorado. And yes, the altitude is a big factor. However, you got to beat the altitude too. You got to beat the altitude. Four penalties in the third period is not going to cut it, for that matter. Please, you know, that's the tough part right there, is that you have to have the respect and play the smart game. Otherwise, it's gonna bite you in the butt.
Hey, you know what? And for everybody who's kind of doom and gloom, and it's like all the Sharks are done. Look, it's 2-2. It's a best of three now. And, you know, if you were given this opportunity to have a best of three, you'd be tied 2-2. You've got home ice advantage. I don't think that there would be any coach in the NHL that would turn that down. So, you know what? The Sharks got home ice back. That was the important part. They get the split on the road. Again, Colorado is a tough place to play. So, you know, good on them, but they've got to get, when they get home, they can't be rattled. They need to really come out with a really big push. And right now, to me, the guy that needs to step up in this series is Evander Kane. He is the guy that right now is Mr. Invisible. I don't see physicality from him. I don't see great passing from him. His board work is okay. That's the only part of the game where I'll say that his intensity into the boards, grabbing the puck, is okay. But it seems like ever since that Ryan Reeves fight, he has not been the same player.
And you start wondering about that too. And as I pull up his stats from the playoffs so far, he had the goal and assist in game two. But other than that, he just has two goals and three assists for 5 points. And he did a lot of his early work in the first two games against Vegas. He had an assist in game five against Vegas, and then a goal and assist in game two against Colorado. But tough part there is that he's also taken some bad penalties. Now, he's been disciplined. You wonder where his where he is, you know, health wise.
Yeah, no, I agree. I, you know, there's just something doesn't look right in his hands to me. You know, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's upper body, something like a shoulder or something like that. That seems, you know, like it could be an issue. And another guy that I'm looking for to step up, and we haven't seen him yet, is Marcus Sorensen. You know, that's a guy that is put on Thornton's line with LeBanc. You know, you had LeBanc, who had that breakout game seven, who's also a guy that's kind of gone cold. That first, in game one, you know, the third line was the best line, but, you know, right now they're going to need that line to really step up. They're going to, you know, Kerfoot had the better of the battles tonight. And, you know, Bednar has no problem running Nathan McKinnon, Landeskog, and Rantanen out there for, you know, 20 minutes a night, you know, 30 minutes, you know, 25 minutes a night. So, you know, right now, to me, it's Sorensen and it's Kane. Radil, well, he's, I love his tenacity. I love the way he's his doggedness on the puck, but man, his whiff tonight was rough, and he was not shooting great. So this is a guy that might be fighting the jitters a little bit. The playoff jitters, I think it's a big stage for him. You know, so it's a guy that clearly is getting upset on the bench. You know, he really wants to try and contribute, but I think he might be trying to do too much right now.
Yeah, and that's the thing too. You know, LeBanc, outside that 4-point game, he has 2 goals in the series. So, and we've seen him get benched a little bit and here and there in the playoffs. And tonight he only had 19 shifts. So, I mean, interesting to see there, but unfortunately not getting much on the scoring sheet in the series outside that game 7. And kudos to you, because that was something to remember. But another one that people are talking about in the chat right now, Tomas Hertl, who I believe only has 2 assists in the series so far. The Avalanche have done a great job taking him out of the game. And unfortunately, that's a guy that the Sharks need the most right now, in my opinion.
Well, you know, I think it's no coincidence that the line with Gus Nyquist on it is the best line for the Sharks so far. I think this kind of series is exactly kind of his playing style. And so when Gus Nyquist is taken off of the Hertl line, that's a lot of creativity that's gone there. And that's a lot of speed that's gone there. And especially with the way that Kane is playing, just not playing his normal self and speedy self. You know, I think Gus Nyquist really helped out there. Now, they did shift Meyer to that line with Hertl and Kane, and that looked pretty good. But it might take some shuffling of the deck here. You know, it might take some out-of-the-box thinking to try and get get the guys kind of a little bit more up-tempo. You know, I think Daniel Martinez saying Hertl is trying to force his way to the middle to make a shot. Yeah, although I would say that that's kind of his game, though, right? I mean, he kind of likes to slow down the game a little bit. He kind of likes to go behind the net, really kind of be that strong player on the boards. So that's kind of Hertl's game. So he's never been a speedster. You know, he's always been a guy that needs to control and puck handle. So, you know, to me, Hertl right now is kind of being neutralized a little bit. So adding some speed on the wings, that would really help open him up a little bit.
Yeah, I completely agree. Ryback, I mean, saying, do you give Gambrell another chance?
I mean, look, right now, to me, Haley is a net negative on the ice. You know, not playing all that great. He's got 9 minutes, only 2 hits tonight. And you know, a guy, again, that's supposed to be physical, only adding 2 hits to the score sheet, not great. Not great. So, you know, that might be a player that needs to be replaced and Gambrell come in on that fourth line. Although Goodrow was money on the faceoffs tonight. So, you know, you talk about a guy that, you know, needing to help with the faceoffs. And you know what? I'd like to see Barkley slid up the lineup. I think he's earned it. I mean, with his play, I think he could be a valuable player on Logan's line, or, you know, maybe put him up there with Hertl. But this is a guy that is kind of evolving his game a little bit and a knack for scoring important goals. Yeah. So I'd like to see Barkley elevated into the lineup.
Well, and you wonder, and I know they're trying to keep the third line together and keep everybody together as much as possible. You wonder if LeBanc gets moved up a little bit and move Radil down, or does that kind of hinder that third line? That's another talk about an adjustment that we'll see. And it remains to be seen. We haven't heard too much about Jonas Donskoy. Obviously, we could speculate, but we're just going to call it overall body soreness. You know, yes, Pavelski did skate today, but here's the thing: we don't know. You know, I've suffered through a car accident with a concussion.
I have too. So,
and that's the thing that, you know, we can't tell if he's 100% or not. And do you switch Tim Heed for, you switch Ryan for Tim Heed? It remains to be seen. I don't know. I don't know what
I think Puckeye just moving Ryan back to with Burns and then having Vlasic and Bronny together again. I mean, you know, they need to have that shutdown pair to shut down Nathan MacKinnon. Tonight he was all over the place. You know, in game three, they did a good job of neutralizing his speed, but in game four, he was allowed to speed through the neutral zone. So, you know, if you put Heed back in the lineup, you've got to balance another right-handed shot, which is really difficult on a team that, you know, is already loaded to the gills with right-handed shots. You know, we also don't know what Brendan Dillon's playing through. Because, you know, he saw reduced ice time, I think, in game two. And then, of course, Vlasic had the injury in the Vegas series. So, I mean, Braun has been taking lick after lick after lick going into the boards. You know, so the blue line right now might need a little bit of a shakeup, a little bit of a makeup change, because, you know, the guys, they're getting worn out. And DeBoer is not doing them any favors by playing a Joachim Ryan 7 minutes.
Yeah, and that's the tough part there. And a lot of it's going to be early, and we get that and everything. And when you're down in a game where you want to have your offensive defenseman do their magic, I get it, you're not going to have him in as much. However, at the same time, you're now 11 games into a postseason, which looks like it's going to be a really long postseason at this rate. You're going to go 6 games in this series at least. You're going to have another tough series in the Western Conference Final if you advance, and then you're playing for the Stanley Cup. I mean, you don't want to have repercussions for next season.
Or next series,
let alone next season for that matter. So
CD Dangle saying they have 5 guys. Who the hell has heard of that? Well, Chicago did win the cup with playing 4 defensemen, you know, that one year, because Trevor Van Riemsdyk was like a rookie. And then they had Timo Kiemannin, I think.
Kiemannin.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know, it's not unheard of, but believe me, that's a lot of miles on Burns and Carlson and Vlasic and Braun. And Braun was already a guy that we were feeling was a little bit suspect this year to begin with. They really need to really redistribute the ice time. And Heat is the right-handed shot. Ryan is the left-handed shot, Rhino.
And that's the other thing too, is like, it's not like they haven't been using righty and righty in there. And especially when you go with 5 defensemen, there's going to be a time where you have righty righty or lefty lefty. So you can't tell me that it's not that. And that's the frustrating part. So we'll see what goes on with that there. All right, so let's get to the final stats on this evening as the Sharks lose this one 3-0. Final stats as they load on NHL.com. Thank you so much. There we go. 32-28 in favor of San Jose. Faceoffs 52-48. Colorado scored 1 on their 5 power play chances. The Sharks, you could barely call it 0-for-2 because they weren't... I think they had 33 seconds on their first power play, and the second one, I don't even think they gained the zone at all. So that tells you how their play was.
Yeah, you think that they might want this series to go 7? Just saying.
I hope not. I hope not. I mean, so if that's the case, then we should expect the Islanders to have 9 power plays tomorrow when they take on the Hurricanes. to try to extend that series. Just putting that out there.
Tonight, the penalty minutes were as follows. 12 minutes for the Sharks, 6 minutes for the Avalanche. Hits 33 in favor of Avalanche, 25 for the Sharks. Blocks 14 to 20, favoring the Avalanche again. Giveaways 4-9, favoring the Avalanche. But you know what? They say that the Sharks only had 4 giveaways, but damn, it sure seemed like they were guilty of a lot more than 4. And Brent Burns could have had 4. And, you know, again, that doesn't account for the missed dump-ins. It doesn't account for the weak, you know, neutral zone play. So, yeah, that 4 seems kind of small to me.
They were too busy adding onto the hit counter. They're trying to impress the Vegas hit counter.
You know? Yeah, exactly. What were they trying to do? Compete with Vegas?
Yeah. The only 2 players that had under 10 minutes of ice time tonight for the Sharks, Michael Haley at 9:17, which is actually pretty considerable. Joachim Ryan was 7:10. Overall, you know, everybody else was in the 10-minute range. Sorensen at 10:50, Radil at 10:17. The defensemen, we've kind of talked about Burns already. Erik Karlsson, 25:24. Mark Edward Vlasic, 22:38. Dylan at 16 minutes. Braun at 18 minutes. Going with it, Mikko Rantanen, 2 assists tonight. Eric Johnson with the empty net. Nathan MacKinnon, the guy that NBC is now going to be gushing over because he grew up in the same town as Sidney Crosby, because Sidney Crosby is just the greatest player of all time. And of course, Pierre's calling our games. So therefore, we got to make sure we mention Sidney Crosby as many times as possible because Sidney Crosby.
That Nathan MacKinnon, I saw him play in Halifax with the Mooseheads. It's just like, oh my
god,
he's
a good hockey player.
Hey, it's time for my reach around.
Is it? Do you really think it's time? Do you really?
Yeah. I really do.
All right, fine.
Curtis said he gave him a reach around.
It's crap around, seriously.
Love that sound bite.
We do have some breaking news, though. They have officially announced, according to NBC Sports California, Game 6 will be at 7 p.m. on Monday night, no matter what. So that's a 7 p.m. start. So again, all the games are going to be at 7 p.m. for the ones that we know of. Game 7 could change, but just a heads up on that one. Let's get to it. So there's only one other game tonight, and a big one indeed in Columbus. Boston wins this one 4-1, evening the series up at 2-2. What did you take from this one, Landy?
Boy, I mean, talk about a counterpunch by Boston. You know, everybody was kind of, you know, I was listening on Hockey Central today, and they were all saying, oh, where's Boston's grit? Where's Boston's determination? But damn, they played a hell of a game. Tuukka Rask really stealing the show there and putting on a clinic. Boston's by no means dead in that series. Same over in the St. Louis-Dallas series. That's also a great one, too, if you aren't watching. If you guys aren't watching that one, that's a really good one. And boy, man, New York Islanders, that magic is starting to run out there.
Yeah, it's like they wish they had John Tavares or something. That
carriage is starting to turn into a pumpkin.
Yeah. So tomorrow you have these games on the schedule here. You have at 4 p.m. on NBCSN, New York at Carolina. The Islanders hoping to stave off elimination there. Carolina hoping to go to the conference final in the first time. And I want to say, geez, in almost.
Since the Cup won the Cup.
Has it been since they won the Cup? I thought they made another appearance in the conference final after that. No. So they're hoping them to get into the Eastern Conference final. That's at 4 p.m. on NBCSN tomorrow. Following that game, because...
Oh, 2009. Thank you.
I thought it was 2009 somewhere in there, but moving onward. Dallas at St. Louis. That game will be at 6:30 p.m. on NBCSN. Gee, I hope they don't have any time contingencies on that one, folks.
Like they did tonight?
Oh, jeez. We'll get to that in a sec. Dallas at St. Louis, 6:30 p.m. our time on NBCSN. That'll be game five with that series tied up at 2-2. I'm thinking that's tied up at 2-2. But yeah, let's and Landy, I know this is a gripe that we both have, but let's try to keep it to a minimum here.
Yeah.
What a nightmare that could have been if Columbus had tied it up.
Look, I mean, NBC Sportsnet loves to gamble with these times. You know, they don't stagger with enough time. They only give it for, you know, they only have so much wiggle room. I don't know who's the broadcasting manager there, or, you know, who's in touch with the league with these start times, but talk about piss poor. It's not great. It's not a great look when you got to actually hold up the other game. You got to hold up puck drop because, you know, national coverage isn't there yet. So, you know what? I can't wait till the next CBA and television agreement so we can get some ESPN in this.
It should be interesting to see how that turns out. Indeed. But yeah, it, just a little frustrating there because you say 7 o'clock and then you delay it to 7:15. And then I think even Al said it on Twitter tonight. You talk about delaying a game 2 minutes before it was supposed to begin. And it's like you almost saw it coming. But that's how it is, unfortunately.
Hey, AJ, if you really got a problem with us talking about the game start times, then why don't you get on here?
Oh, boy. No. You sure? Do you... Landy, don't poke the bear. Seriously. Anywho. we're done with it. We're moving on with it. So with that, the world's going, oh, crap. So let's move on. Game five, Saturday night. Huge game at the Shark Tank. It's going to be a huge one. And you know what? It's going to be a blast. Best of three now. Two of them at home. What do you see? What do you look for? What can you...
Yeah, I mean, really, the Sharks have to come out and blitz the Colorado Avalanche in that first 5 minutes. That's going to be key to that game. They need to score within the first 5 to 10 minutes, really need to get Colorado reeling, really need to punish them with the body, especially those smaller defensemen. Gerard and Makar are just able to do anything out there right now, and it doesn't seem like they're paying a price. So they really need to get some bodies on them. Nikita Zadorov, I don't know what you got to do, but you've got to figure out a way to neutralize him, whether that's laying a big check on him, whether that's trying to goad him into a fight, something. But Nikita Zadorov, there we go, is really winning the physical battle for them right now. So, you know, they again need to come out with the foot on the gas, blitz them early, and then you can kind of get the Colorado Avalanche kind of reeling.
Yeah, and if you can get them early and get them reeling, that'd be a huge thing. Of course, as Brody and Chris go off the air, we should mention two or fewer is still undefeated thanks to the empty net goal. Let's just put it out there. Otherwise, Brody would have ripped a t-shirt, and you know what? He could get one of these, you know, to replace that shirt, a nice jumbo shirt. I'm just saying, check it out at tealtownusa.com for all that. But in case you missed anything or you want to watch this again, make sure you hit us up at tealtownusa.com or your favorite podcatcher, whether it's iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and of course Spotify, but definitely make sure you hit us up on the YouTube channel and smash that subscribe button. We want to thank the 1480 viewers that have subscribed, and of course if you haven't already, please subscribe. We really do appreciate it, and of course check out all the posts that are on tealtownusa.com. Felix does a great great posts. AJ does many as well. Chris even had one on Jones, which I think is, you know, his reverse call. Oh, see, look what you did. Look what you freaking did. Look what you freaking did.
You want to talk about start times, people? You want to talk about start times? I got your start times right here, pal. They do it for ratings. That's the only reason why they do it. Just let it go. You want to bitch about it? Bitch about it on Twitter. That's what Twitter is for. So we can all be 12-year-olds that bitch about every little thing and every call that goes against us. That's why we have Twitter. That's why it was invented, people. Have a good night.
Oh my God, Eric, take us out of here. If you haven't already subscribed, please go ahead and subscribe. I'm at Eric Landy, using my first name. That's Eric Landi. Find me on all of the social media garbage.
You okay. Don't know how your name is spelled. My God, how many times have we talked
about fire?
Oh my gosh. All right.
Hey, they could have spelled my name the old Norse way with a double I, okay? So at least they didn't do that. My parents are hippies, but not that bad.
I'm not even going to go there. My handle on the Twitter machine and the Instagram is PuckGuy14. Use that. Follow me on both. Well, really appreciate it. Of course, hit us up on Tealtown USA on all your social media channels. And of course, like we said, make sure you hit us up on the YouTube channel. We do this after every game. We'll be back with you Saturday night following game 5 of Sharks and Avalanche. That game will start at 7 p.m., we think, on NBCSN.
Well, we hope.
Yes, we hope. Kidding. I can already fetch your agent coming back in right now. But for everybody at Tealtown USA, we thank you for watching. We appreciate your support. Tell all your friends and make sure you grab one of these jumbo shirts on our website. And until then, keep it real. Keep it teal. Keep it real teal. You have a wonderful evening tonight.